content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'm going to be reading articles from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter and also from the Harvard Health Letter. And I'm going to start with the Mayo Clinic Health Letter, and this is a section called Second Opinion. Question. I had a DEXA scan done a few years ago at a health fair to check my bone health. I recently had another DEXA scan at a local outpatient facility, but my doctor says he can't directly compare the old scan and the new one because different equipment was used. Why does the device that was used matter? And here's the answer. A DEXA, which is a dual energy X-ray absorptiometry scan, is a special X-ray used to measure bone loss. It helps determine if you have osteoporosis or other skeletal disorders. It can also help keep track whether your osteoporosis treatments are working. The test evaluates bone health using X-rays to determine bone mineral density, a measure of how many grams of calcium and other bone minerals are packed into a segment of bone. The bones commonly tested are on the lower spine, hips, and sometimes the forearm. In some instances, the whole body may be scanned. DEXA systems and the technologists who operate them can differ in how and where the measurements are taken, which can lead to different results. Central DEXA scanners measure bone mineral density in the hip and spine using a table and a large arm-like scanning device. This is the machine that's typically used in hospitals and medical offices. By contrast, a peripheral DEXA is a portable machine that measures the bone mineral density in the wrist, the heel, or the finger. And this is what is usually found in drug stores and community health events. Peripheral DEXA scanners are more mobile and less expensive. Central DEXA scanners are the most accurate and are considered the standard. Bone mineral density readings can vary between central and peripheral DEXA scanners, between different makes and models of DEXA scanners, and even between the same DEXA scanners based on how well the machine is maintained and calibrated, as well as the skill of those operating it, among other factors. That means it's a good idea to receive your scans at the same facility and on the same device in the future. Question. Ever since my doctor changed my heart failure medication, my wife has pointed out that it looks like I have breasts when I wear certain t-shirts. Is this common, and what can I do about it? Answer. It sounds like you're experiencing gynecomastia, which is an increase in male breast gland tissue. Typically, both breasts are affected, but one breast may appear bigger than the other. This glandular growth occurs under the nipple area. Such growth stems from too much estrogen or not enough testosterone. It can be associated with a medication called spironolactone or aldactone, which is used to treat heart failure and a number of other conditions. Other medications that can cause gynecomastia include androgens like flutamide and finasteride. Another name for finasteride is Proscar. Flutamide is spelled F-L-U-T-A-M-I-D-E. Finasteride is F-I-N-A-S-T-E-R-I-D-E. These medications are used to treat an enlarged prostate or prostate cancer. Certain cancer treatments, calcium channel blockers, proton pump inhibitors, and tricyclic antidepressants can also cause gynecomastia. Gynecomastia can be associated with health conditions like hyperthyroidism and liver cirrhosis. Natural hormone changes that occur with age can cause gynecomastia, and so can alcohol, marijuana, and some illicit drugs. It's also possible the problem could simply be fatty breast tissue, which may occur in obese men and is not a cause of health concern. Gynecomastia isn't a serious threat, but it can cause embarrassment. Talk to your doctor if you're concerned. The doctor may recommend stopping treatment with the drug or finding an alternative medication. Stopping a medication like aldactone on your own is strongly discouraged and could be dangerous in some cases. If a condition like hypogonadism or cirrhosis is a contributing factor, that condition may need treatment. Many cases of gynecomastia resolve over time without treatment. Medication and surgery to get rid of extra breast tissue is also an option. Gynecomastia can sometimes be mistaken for breast cancer. The vast majority of breast cancers, 99%, are diagnosed in women. But those that develop in men can be quite aggressive. Breast cancer in men usually affects only one breast or comes with signs like a hard lump, green or bloody nipple discharge, or dimpling or redness of the skin. If a man has any of these symptoms, he should make an appointment with his doctor. Now I'm going to turn to the Harvard Health Letter. This is the January 2022 issue, and I'm going to finish the articles I haven't read yet. The first is, watch out for these balance busters. Health problems, medications, and environmental hazards can throw off your balance and increase your fall risk. Our balance wanes as we age, putting us in jeopardy. The problem reflects a mix of issues that set us up for falls, which are a major cause of hip fracture, head injury, and disability. The good news is that you can fight back by recognizing and addressing potential balance busters. Everything we do to maintain our health, alertness, fitness, and mobility will slow the trajectory of our declining balance, says Dr. Stephen Rauch, medical director of the Balance and Vestibular Center at the Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts Eye and Ear. What is balance? Your balance is controlled by a miraculous system, one that involves your entire body. Your eyes tell you where you are in space. Balance organs in your ears read your head movements. Nerves send information about the position of your body. All these signals from your eyes, ears, and nerves are processed by your brain, which then sends messages back to your sensory nerves, your muscles and joints, that help you keep your balance. As a result, you can walk, keep your gaze stable while you move, or catch yourself after tripping, Dr. Rauch says. These different parts of our balance system decline as we age. Vision and hearing don't work as well as they used to. Messages in the nerves can get garbled, muscles shrink and get weaker, joints wear out, and our brain may not be as quick to make adjustments to maintain balance, Dr. Rauch says. Now, there are some health-related balance risks. Many health conditions can hurt your balance. Here are some common culprits. The first is vision problems. Eye diseases can reduce the ability to relay your location to the brain. Three conditions in particular become more common with age: cataracts, which cause cloudy eye lenses, glaucoma, which causes loss of side vision, and macular degeneration, which destroys central vision. Another important balance risk is inner ear conditions. Some disorders can impair balance organs and trigger a sense of spinning, which is called vertigo. Three common conditions are benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, which is caused by loose ear crystals, inner ear infections, and Meniere's disease, in which fluid buildup leads to pressure and damage. Then there's neuropathy. This type of nerve damage, often caused by diabetes or compressed nerves in the spine, causes tingling, numbness, or pain in the limbs and limits your brain's ability to sense your legs and feet. There's foot conditions. Anything that affects the way you walk threatens your balance, whether it's a heel problem or fallen arches. Orthostatic hypotension. This means your blood pressure dips too low when you stand up, which can make you feel dizzy and fall. It becomes more common with age and can be a side effect of medication. Mild cognitive impairment. This slight but noticeable change in memory and thinking skills is sometimes a precursor to dementia. The condition can affect your attention, reaction time, and ability to sense where you are in space. There are also medication-related balance risks. Many medications can make you woozy and cause you to lose your balance. These include some antidepressants, drugs to treat anxiety like benzodiazepines, antihistamines, blood pressure drugs like ACE inhibitors, angiotensin receptor blockers, and beta blockers, diabetes drugs like insulin, glipizide, and gliburide. Another name for glipizide is glucotrol, and for gliburide is diabeta or glinase. Drugs to treat irregular heartbeat, prescription pain medications like opioids, and finally sleep medications like sedatives and hypnotics. Now, there are environmental balance risks, of course. Hazards in your environment can threaten your balance and make you trip and fall. So it's important to watch out for outdoor hazards like icy walkways, uneven pavement, poorly lighted walkways or parking lots, paths that are blocked by shrubs or large tree roots. It's also important to watch out for indoor hazards like floor clutter, throw rugs, poorly lighted hallways or stairs, furniture that blocks your path, extension cords, loose carpeting, loose handrails, slippery bathroom floors, broken steps, and tile floors. Unfortunately, pets can also get underfoot, especially cats and small dogs, and this can cause falling. Ill-fitting shoes that keep you from sensing the ground properly, like shoes that are too loose or squishy, can worsen your balance. So what can you do? Well, there's plenty you can do to improve your balance and reduce your fall risk. Start at home. Get rid of hazards and add anti-slip equipment. Install grab bars by the tub and toilet. Non-slip treads in places that get wet. Night lights so you don't bump around in the dark. And handrails that can support your body weight, Dr. Rauch advises. Ask your doctor if any of your health problems or medications could be increasing your fall risk. Ask if you might benefit from physical therapy and if an assistive walking device like a cane or rollator might improve your balance. Wear supportive shoes with laces to keep them snug on your feet. And hone your balance skills by challenging your balance safely. Stand on one foot when you brush your teeth. Then stand on the other when you brush at night, holding the sink counter for balance. Use the stairs instead of the elevator. And try to exercise as much as possible. Walk, cycle, do Tai Chi or yoga or dance, Dr. Rauch urges. Use your balance because there's no question that good balance is a use it or lose it proposition. Next is an important article, which is called Tips to Help You Stay on Your Cholesterol Drug. Low-dose or alternate day medication schedules and gentle muscle stretches can help. Statin drugs like atorvastatin, which is called Lipitor, and rosuvastatin, which is called Crestor, are important medications that reduce high LDL or bad cholesterol and significantly lower the risk for heart attack, stroke, or premature death. Despite the drug's effectiveness, many people who start a statin drug can discontinue its use. Some people say that 50% of people a year after starting a statin are no longer taking it. Dr. Christopher Cannon, a cardiologist at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital, says that he finds it hard to believe that it's as high as 50%, but he thinks that it probably is in the range of a quarter to a half of people that stop taking statins after they are prescribed. Statins are often abandoned because of side effects, and these may be real or imaginary. These can include muscle aches, cramps, an increase in blood sugar, an increase in risk for diabetes in people already at higher risk for the disease, heartburn, nausea, and in rare cases, liver problems, or potentially life-threatening breakdown in muscle cells that cause kidney damage. Dr. Cannon says that in blinded studies, about 5% of statin users experience side effects as a result of an intolerance to the drug, and another 10% experience symptoms that they attribute to the medication, but which are not actually caused by it. This phenomenon is called the nocebo effect, N-O-C-E-B-O, and was reflected in a small randomized trial published in the September 21st Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Participants followed for 1 year reported almost as many side effects when they took a placebo, a fake treatment, as when they took a statin. People have negative expectations because, unfortunately, there's a lot of false information about statins on the internet and on social media. An example is the claim of cognitive decline as a side effect, even though this has been disproven several times over. In other words, Dr. Cannon is saying that there is no loss of mental function associated with statin drugs. So what can you do? Work with your doctor to see if the following approaches can help you stick with your statin. First of all, start slowly. Think about a low dose or alternate day dose strategy to ease into statin use. This recalibrates the expectations and gives people more of an open mind that they can tolerate the statin, Dr. Cannon says. Try a non-statin cholesterol drug. These drugs don't cause muscle aches the way statins sometimes do. Examples would be ezetimibe or Zetia, which is a cholesterol absorption inhibitor. Another example is bempedoic acid or Nexletol. Also, your doctor will think about other causes of muscle aches besides statins. Is it really the medication causing the discomfort? Or did you perhaps begin to exercise more when you started the statin? And maybe you have some sore muscles. Also, your doctor is going to think about drug interactions. Some medications can cause adverse reactions when taken with statins, like certain calcium channel blockers, including diltiazem, and certain antifungal medications like ketoconazole or Nizoral. You should work with your doctor to pinpoint the symptom causes. Sometimes we stop the statin for a month just to see if the muscle aches go away. Of course, if they don't, that implies that there's some other cause. Then we start the statin again to see if the symptoms come back. Another thing that is sometimes recommended is to take coenzyme Q10. This supplement has mixed results for relieving muscle aches from statins, but Dr. Cannon says it's worth a try. You can take it and see if it helps. If it doesn't, stop taking it. Another thing your doctor may do is to check your vitamin D level. There is an association between low vitamin D levels and higher muscle aches when you take a statin, Dr. Cannon says. You'll want to replenish your vitamin D levels if they're low, but no study shows taking vitamin D will relieve aches. Another thing that's a good idea is to try gentle stretching. If you're experiencing muscle aches, a program of gentle stretching for all of your muscles after marching in place or walking for a few minutes can help. Make it a regular part of your day. Whatever the cause of the symptoms you may feel when taking statins, work with your doctor to find a solution. Working together is most important, Dr. Cannon says. Patients need options, and we need to test things out together. Now, the next thing I'm going to read is a section called News Briefs, and this is the Harvard Health Letter of January 2022 again. The first is a short article entitled, "A Salt Substitute is Associated with Lower Rates of Stroke and Death." Ditching salt and using a salt substitute appears to lower the risk for stroke, heart attack, and premature death, according to a large randomized trial of Chinese men and women published in the August 29th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Researchers recruited about 21,000 older adults for the study, most with a history of stroke and high blood pressure. Half of the participants were assigned to use regular salt in their food preparation at home, and half were told to use a salt substitute, which contained 25% potassium chloride. After 5 years, people who used the salt substitute had a 14%, that's 1-4, 14% lower risk of stroke, a 13% lower risk of heart attack, and a 12% lower risk of early death, compared with people who used regular salt. Much of the sodium in our diet comes from sodium-laden processed food rather than sprinkled on salt. Besides reducing those foods, this study suggested that using a salt substitute instead of salt makes sense. And don't forget the option of using a completely different spice, like rosemary, oregano, cumin, or dill. If you do eat processed food, take note. In October of 2021, the FDA issued voluntary rules for food manufacturers to cut the salt in processed food with the goal of reducing consumers' overall sodium intake by 400 milligrams per day. Now here's a brief article entitled, "Tooth Loss is Associated with Cognitive Impairment and Dementia." Poor oral hygiene is a path to gum disease and tooth loss, and an increased amount of evidence suggests there may be a link to cognitive decline. One example, in the October 2021 issue of the Journal of Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine, evaluated 14 studies focusing on tooth loss and cognitive impairment among 34,000 older adults. People in the study with more tooth loss had, on average, a 48% greater risk for developing cognitive impairment and a 28% greater risk for dementia. compared with people who had less tooth loss. There was no significant difference in risk for dementia among people who had dentures, possibly because they can chew foods and maintain nutrition, the researchers speculated. The researchers say mouth bacteria may play a role in brain inflammation, which might promote cognitive decline. The takeaway, of course, is brush your teeth twice a day, floss every day, and see your dentist regularly. Doing that may protect your brain. Finally, there's been some progress toward over-the-counter hearing aids. This may be the year that safe and expensive over-the-counter hearing aids become available. In 2017, Congress passed a law directing the FDA to come up with a new category of hearing aids requiring special regulations and FDA approval. These hearing aids would be available from any seller without doctor appointments or fittings and sold at a fraction of the typical cost, about $600 per pair instead of $5,000 per pair, which includes fitting and follow-up service. There's only one problem. The FDA missed the August 2020 deadline to come up with the safety and labeling rules. In October 2021, the FDA moved forward and issued proposed rules for the OTC category. Approval is expected sometime this year. Manufacturers are already creating self-fit OTC devices and business models, and they're using the proposed regulations to fine-tune the devices. They're going to be launched after the regulations are finalized. OTC devices will have the same fundamental technology as traditional hearing aids, and they'll be targeted at people with mild to moderate hearing loss. If you know you only need amplification, the device might be right for you. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.